Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We are in the middle of an amazing series on themes in the Gospel of John. Today, more testimonies about Jesus. And it's my prayer that you'd be blessed, not only personally, but be blessed to go out and be a blessing to those around you. So welcome to Hope Sabbath School. And welcome to the team. Amen. Take a look at each other and wave. Amen. We're here and God's in our midst and we're glad we can be part of the program. We've got some great remote team members with us again today. Zandile, great to have you with us remotely. And Corey, great to have you back with us as we continue our study. And we're glad you're with us. You know, we've got Hope Sabbath School members across the planet. Wow. And we're glad wherever you're watching, we'd love to hear from you. Why don't you write to us? Take a note down, sshope@hopetv.org. You say, Derek, I already know the email address. Then write to us. Tell us the country where you live and how God's blessing you through a study of His Word. Here's just a few emails we've received. One from Jacob in Malawi. Oh, wow. Jacob writes and says, now, Travis, I noticed you've been to Malawi quite a few times, haven't you? God's blessed your work there. Jacob writes, your commitment to deep interactive study of the Word of God is truly inspiring. It's through this dedicated exploration that we uncover the profound blessings woven within the Scriptures. Mm. He's a profound thinker here. Each session unveils layers of wisdom, guiding us closer to understanding the divine purpose for our lives.
Amen.
Thank you for your dedication. Together, may we continue to grow in wisdom and understanding as we journey deeper into the Word of God. Blessings. Amen. We say blessings back to you, Jacob.
Amen.
I hope you're teaching the Word of God. He's an individual who's a deep thinker.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We hope you'll take the outline, download it from our website, and start an interactive class. You may write back and say, Derek, we're already doing that. Praise God. Here's a note from Sitali in Zambia. We have a lot of Hope Sabbath School members in Zambia, don't we?
Yeah.
Hello, Hope Sabbath School.
Hello.
I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I watch Hope Sabbath School every week, and I download your outline for use in my Bible class.
Praise God.
I share it on the church WhatsApp group, and many are using the outline to teach.
Amen.
You are wonderful people. I feel like shouting,
Hallelujah.
How did you know? May you keep inspiring us with this good work. God bless you indeed. Let us meet in heaven.
Amen.
Sitali, thank you for writing to us from Zambia. And actually, he's writing here from a boarding secondary school. So it could be that he's blessing a lot of people there, young people. I'd love to hear from you, Sitali. Write to me and tell me more about how God's using you. Here's a handwritten note from a donor in the state of New York. Now, folks who don't live in the United States may think New York is just a city. Mm-hmm. And it is a very big city, but there's also the state of New York. And this person lives in the state of New York. And writes and says, I trust that this small drop helps to fill a bucket for some thirsty soul.
Amen.
You like that?
Yeah.
By the way, that reminds us, viewer, that we say, well, Derek, I could only help with a little. But a little added to others we partner can fill the bucket.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
Hope Sabbath School has always been a source of comfort to me, and the testimonies of the team inspire me to keep holding on.
Amen.
I'm the only Christian I have in my family. Please help me to pray that God will bring my family to know Him while there is still time.
Amen.
Is that a prayer to pray?
Yes.
And a contribution of $75.
Amen.
God bless you there in the city of Brooklyn, state of New York. Thank you for being part of this great miracle. And thank you to each one of you We're at that time of the year, you're saying, is there something God wants me to do coming to the close of the year? The answer is yes. Lay up some treasure in heaven. Help the gospel go to the world. Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
You can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. Click on the donate button. We smile. Why? Because we're part of a great miracle of God.
Amen.
One last note from Bismarck. Mm. Now, Bismarck is watching from Brazil.
Okay.
Sabina, that's your home country, right? Brazil. Mm-hmm. But he's from Ghana. So Bismarck's a long way from home. But he writes, I really want to thank the Hope Sabbath School team for their great interactive discussions of the Word of God. Mm. I've been watching for many years, and it has contributed to my life.
Praise God. Awesome.
God bless you all. Well, thank you, Bismarck, for writing. I don't know if you're still in Brazil or back home in Ghana, but we're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. And we'd like to hear from you, too. Write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. Or when you watch us on the YouTube channel, our YouTube channel is growing every week. Mm. You can leave a comment there, but don't forget to tell us the country where you're watching. We're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Before we sing our theme song, though, I want to remind you about the special gift we have for you during this series. I want to thank my wife, Bodil, for making available a collection of Trilogy Scripture songs. We sing a theme song, you know, each quarter, each series. But we've got a collection of 6 songs from the words of Jesus. 4 from the Gospel of John, 2 from the book of Revelation. Hide God's word in your heart. Hide the words of Jesus in your heart. All you have to do to get this special gift from Hope Sabbath School is to go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. I guess you could even just Google Hope Sabbath School. You'd find it. Click on the free gift and you can download a collection of 6 Trilogy Scripture songs from the words of Jesus. Share them with your family. Hide God's word in your heart. Right now, we need you to help us sing. This is also a scripture song from the Gospel of John, but it's not the word of Jesus. It's the word of a prophet named John the Baptist. Mm. Behold, he says,
the Lamb of God
who does what?
Takes
he takes away the sin of the world. Let's sing it together.
Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin, who takes away the sin of the world. I have seen it testified that this is the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. I saw the Spirit descending, and he remained upon him. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin, who takes away the sin of the world. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God.
I was thinking as we were singing, of course, you know, we're not like some famous choir, right? But we're giving our testimony even when we say, I have seen and I testify that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen.
Amen.
And also the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's my sin too. No wonder we're happy, right?
Amen.
That's my sin too. He's taken away.
Amen.
What a powerful testimony. I don't think John the Baptist, when he cried out when Jesus came there to the Jordan, knew how many lives would be impacted by his testimony.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we're going to discover in our study today more testimonies about Jesus, that even today on Hope Sabbath School, lives will be impacted by your testimonies.
Praise God.
Whether you're here in the studio or Corey Zandilli joining us remotely, and even you may be impressed to write to us with your testimony, sshopehopetv.org, and let God use your testimony to impact lives.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're praying in the name of Jesus as we continue this wonderful series, Themes in the Gospel of John, that your Holy Spirit would energize us, energize our minds, give boldness to our speech, and give us hearing hearts as we interact together, that lives would be blessed not only here, but around the world. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Amen. One of the key witnesses about Jesus as Messiah, as you know, was John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fulfillment of prophecies of two prophets at least, yes. Name them for me, the prophet
Isaiah
and the prophet Malachi speak about this one, voice crying in the wilderness, right? Mm-hmm. One who makes straight the path for the Lord to come.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to begin by reviewing something we studied in a previous study. And Sabina, if you could begin our study in John 1. We could read starting in 29, Behold the Lamb of God, but I'm going to pick up in verse 32 to 34. And I want you to notice that he has been guided supernaturally in his testimony.
Okay, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.
Amen.
Now, if it was just verse 32, Tendi, where he says, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, that would be a testimony, right?
Mm.
And that's not unimportant. We give our testimony. But what did you see in verse 33 that saw there was something supernatural there that gave him a boldness in verse 34 to say, I testify that this is the Son of God.
Mm.
Tendi?
There was a Spirit descending upon him.
Right?
Yes.
We saw that. But then verse 33, Gladys?
It says that he did not know him himself, but that the one, somebody, he received a revelation of what to look for. But the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the one on whom the Spirit comes down on.
So and remains. He received a supernatural revelation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right.
And that's what gave him boldness in his declaration. Yes. Sabina?
Yeah, so we see from Scripture that John, he was a prophet, right? John the Baptist.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So he seemingly was acquainted with how to understand and listen the voice of God. Mm-hmm. So the God who had sent him already with the message of repentance of the coming of the Messiah that was soon about to come, also helped him recognize that Jesus was the Messiah he was announcing.
So I have a question for you. We study the Bible. It's Hope Sabbath School. We study the Bible. Why is divine revelation or supernatural revelation so important in order to arrive at truth with full confidence? Puya?
I mean, that in our previous discussion, we talked about the chasm between God and man. It's just so vast that unless God reveals himself to us, we cannot find out about who he is on our own. Mm-hmm. And Travis pointed out before that the God of this world, Satan, according to Paul, has blinded us. Mm-hmm. And so we need that supernatural revelation so that the veil would be taken away.
All right, Viara?
Eastern meditation is very popular today, but I feel that the problem of it is that it focuses inward. We look for the answers within myself. But for me, this is like I'm drowning and I'm trying to get myself out of the water by pulling myself out.
And it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we need? We need something from outside of ourselves.
Exactly.
Now, Travis, and then I want to ask, what is the clearest revelation that God gave so that we could know the truth about him?
One of the things that sets the God, our creator God, apart from any other gods is that he knows the end from the beginning. And I remember Daniel alluding to that in chapter 2. And in chapter 14 of John, it says, I told you these things before they happen. So when they do, that you would believe. Prophecies, even small, short prophecies, maybe a few weeks, a few months, a few years, these are supernatural prophecies. Nobody else but God knows this. Mm-hmm. And it just gives us confidence that he is God.
Now, can you think of a Bible verse that reinforces what we've been saying? What Viera said, I need something outside of myself that can help me to get clarity regarding the truth that God wants to reveal to me. Yes, Jason.
Oh, yeah, I do have a verse if we can read it.
Yes.
It's from 2 Timothy.
2 Timothy.
Yeah, chapter 3.
All right.
Verses 16 through 17.
All right. Now, some people may think 2 Timothy was written by Timothy, but it wasn't. There's a 1 Timothy and a 2 Timothy written to Timothy by the Apostle Paul.
Correct.
And you're reading 2 Timothy 16 and 17?
Correct. And it is written, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And verse 17 says, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
So the Bible,
yes.
Isn't there a psalm that says your word is a
lamp
to my feet and a light to my path? Psalm 119, right? Verse 105. So the Bible is a revelation that can help us with confidence to know truth. But Sabina, I saw your hand raised.
Also, if I may share a verse from Hebrews,
sure.
Chapter 1.
Hebrews
verses 1 and 2. So it would be Hebrews.
All right, give us a moment to find Hebrews chapter 1.
Verses 1.
I think you're going to tell us where the brightest revelation came from.
That's right.
Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2.
That's right. So I'll be reading from the New King James Version. In Hebrews 1, chapter verses 1 and 2 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, who he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds.
So the clearest revelation, you're saying?
That's right.
Is Jesus.
That's the clearest.
But now I have a difficult question. How much would we know about Jesus if the prophets hadn't written in the Bible? How much would we know?
Yeah.
Why? God would have to give us a vision.
Right.
That's
right.
Or have to give us a dream.
Right.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
So are we thankful for the Bible today?
Amen.
We are. Absolutely. We're thankful for the Bible today. Praise well, God. I'm going to ask Corey if you'd read for us this same prophet John, who boldly shared because he'd received divine revelation. His testimony in John 3, verses 30 to 36, John 3, 30 to 36. And I want you to listen and ask yourself the question, how can we ensure that we're always pointing people to Jesus rather than drawing attention to ourselves?
Right.
Corey? Yep. John 3, 30 through 36. I'm reading from the New King James. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true.
Amen.
For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Mm-hmm. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him.
Mm-hmm. What impresses you about that testimony? Thank you, Corey, for reading that. I mean, this is startling. Yeah. I know that John the Baptist didn't go to the school of Shammai or the school of Hillel. I know he didn't study under Gamaliel. Mm-hmm. He grew up with elderly parents and then at some point went into the desert, right, to detach himself from the corruption. Where did he find such profound wisdom in his testimony about Jesus as Messiah? Mm. Anybody, where did he find that? Travis?
It could only be from the Spirit of God.
Right.
It could only be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I think of fishermen like Peter, you know, who end up speaking so boldly mm-hmm. on the day of Pentecost. Mm-hmm. It can only happen by the Spirit of God, right?
Yes.
John gives a testimony. Anything that impresses you, Puya, about his testimony about Jesus?
Right. The Gospel of John didn't include this part of the story, but Matthew included that later he was thrown in prison. And then he at one point struggled to mm-hmm. understand the mission of Jesus himself.
Right,
you know,
right,
from
right.
the darkness of the prison, he sent his disciples to Jesus to ask if he was truly the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And yet through it all, he was faithful until he lost his life. And that is just so powerful.
You know, when you think, thank you for giving us that extra summary. That's why all of the Gospels are helpful, aren't they? Mm-hmm. John, we're focusing on John, who doesn't mention any of those details.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you're right, because John the Baptist rebuked Herod mm-hmm. Antipas for living with his brother's wife, Herodias.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She schemed to have him beheaded.
Mm-hmm.
Tragic ending, but he remained faithful, didn't
That's
he?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The boldness. He who believes in the Son of God has eternal life. What do you think of that? Mm. What are your thoughts about that? Verse 36. Sandili, that sounds crystal clear to me. He who believes in the Son of God has everlasting life.
It reminded me of John 3:16, where Jesus himself is saying that he is the life, and whosoever believes in him should have eternal life. So John is kind of like quoting from the words of Jesus himself, yet it is the Spirit of God that inspired him.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Amazing. Could it be, you're watching Hope Sabbath School today, we're here, could it be that filled with the Holy Spirit, because you did talk about the Spirit guiding him, right? That filled with the Holy Spirit, we could speak with such clarity and boldness in our witness about Jesus.
Yes.
Is that possible?
Amen.
It's possible, isn't it?
Possible.
Well, we're going to continue our study, and we're going to look at the feeding of the 5,000. You say, Derek, we looked at that in this series, but we're going to see what happens afterwards. So could someone please summarize? Jesus goes to a secluded place. In fact, he encourages his disciples to come and rest a while, but everybody starts following him around the lake. Some of you have been to Israel. You've been on the Sea of Galilee, and you know you can see to the other side. I mean, it's not like 500 miles across, right? Maybe 7-8 miles, maybe less, up toward the north part of the lake. So they were all running around. Jesus ends up teaching them all day.
Mm-hmm.
And then he provides a meal for them.
Mm-hmm.
Where did they get the food? Someone help us with the story. Where did they get the food, Gladys?
It was a little boy with a basket with five loaves of bread and two fish.
Mm-hmm.
So. You know, I kind of imagine that story. This little boy, he's given a lunch by his mother, right? Going to listen to Jesus. That as Jesus starts taking the bread and the fish, having prayed to God, right? The Father.
Yeah.
Taking, I imagine the little boy kind of looking under the basket, you know, like,
where is that?
Wow, my
from?
Mama gave me a big lunch today, you know? And I imagine Jesus, I may be wrong, but I imagine Jesus just smiling at him, you know?
Amen.
Just smiling. as he's taking the food and feeding the multitude. You know, that's the story. Yeah. 5,000 men plus women and children, right?
Yeah.
But I want to pick up what happens the next day, because we're going to see another powerful testimony about Jesus. And it's a testimony from someone who could have given up. So, John chapter 6. Viara, if you could read for us John chapter 6, beginning with verse 22. Let's pick up the story and see how the crowd expects things to happen the next day.
I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw that the disciples had taken the only boat, and they realized Jesus had not gone with them. So several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they go into the boats and went across the Capernaum to look for him. They found him on the other side of the lake and they asked, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval." And they replied, "We want to perform God's works too. What should we do?" Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent." And they answered, "Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat."
Thank you for reading the story so with such enthusiasm.
Amen.
Because what are they wanting?
Miracles.
More bread.
More bread. Yeah, miracles is right, but specifically more fish sandwiches.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
If you could just keep performing those miracles for us. But what is the most important work? By the way, they say, let us perform works. In other words, give us the ability to
make food.
Yeah.
To perform miracles too, to make food too, right?
Yes.
And what is the most important work, Jesus says?
To believe in him.
Right, Viara?
It's so interesting. Why as humans, if we have to do something, we're right there. We want to perform something to deserve our salvation. What it takes is surrender. Surrender and believe. Surrender your will to God. And it seems like this is more difficult for us than to do something.
Right.
For sure. Tendi, can you continue the story? We could read the whole chapter, but I'd like to pick up in verse 48, where Jesus expands on what he said earlier, that it's not about free fish sandwiches. It's about bread that comes down from heaven, that if they eat that, they will have life forever. Pick up for us, if you would, in verse 48 and following to 66, and let's see how the crowd that's come for more miracles and more food, how they react.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, John 6, 48 to 66. And it reads, "I'm the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore quarreled amongst themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more.
I don't know what the percentage was, but many is many. We're going to discover even the 12 think about leaving. What message was so difficult for them to hear? What was so difficult for them, and maybe a little beyond their comprehension? Sabina?
So it seems like they were expecting something that they could immediately see, you know, as sustenance for them. For instance, and we know even for the Jewish community, we're expecting a kingdom to be settled that would, you know, help that oppression they were suffering to be taken away. So it seems to me that it was hard for them, one, to understand it was a gift that was being extended to them, because even the question that they had, how they would perform the same works and etc., Jesus said, "Hey, you just need to receive what I have here for you, just believe it." But then it further still get a bit more difficult, not only that it was a gift, but at seemingly it was not something they would immediately see in every avenue of their expectations of how, you know, abundant life would look like. So I think that's part of how the reasons why some of them left.
There are probably some people even today who say, "I have no idea what this means." Right? What does it mean, Puyi, I see your hand, to eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of God? Jesus has come into humanity. What does that mean?
Right, that's what I was going to point out. I mean, for people who would be hearing this for the first time, when Jesus said, "Eat my, you know, flesh and drink my blood," it's very raw.
And
they probably couldn't understand. And moreover, I believe Jesus claiming that he came from heaven, and they was talking to talking about God as if God was his father, and for them to hear this, you know, it just didn't make sense to them if they were not open.
Now we have the advantage of some time passing, because when you think of, "This is my body broken for you, this is my blood," we immediately think of what service?
The communion.
Communion, the Last Supper, where Jesus takes symbols. Now that can't literally have been his body and blood shed and broken, because this is before his death. But they symbolize, the bread from the Passover meal, the juice from the Passover meal. And when we take them inside of us, what does that mean even in that service? Anybody? What does it mean when we accept those symbols of the broken body and shed blood of Jesus?
We accept Jesus' sacrifice and redemption for us. But the key here is the belief. They could not, we said before that unless the Father reveals the gifts of revelation, there's no way that you can understand.
I don't know why he didn't say it a little more simply. Maybe he was just wanting to challenge them, because he could have just said, "If you accept me, you will have it." But he said that earlier, didn't he? That's the work, to believe.
Correct.
So, but accepting Jesus is what he's called, we're calling us to do, rather than just accept free gifts. Well, this was difficult. Many left. I want to go on and look in verses 67. And Zandili, I know you've had your hand raised very patiently. So I'm going to ask you to make your comment and then read for us from John 6, 67 to 69, how even the closest of disciples of Jesus reacted. But feel free to make your comment first.
Okay. I wanted to say that they were blinded by the past. They were blinded by the manna. And they could not link together when Jesus was saying, I am the bread. That was referring to that manna that he fed their fathers. But they failed to see the future, and they wanted a physical sign, and of which Christ did not give it to them at that time. So just like us today, sometimes we have things that are blinding us. We are holding on to the things of the past, yet God is moving us to a certain direction.
Thank you for sharing that. Read for us, if you would, from John 6, 67 to 69.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, verse 66 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Mm. What do you think about Simon Peter's testimony?
Beautiful.
Corey? He doesn't say, I'm not confused. I'm not confused. They're all confused. What do you think about his testimony, Corey?
It's beautiful and amazing because he steps out in faith and just shows that you have the words of eternal life. So he's not linked. He hasn't linked fully the bread and words together, but he sees that Christ is that bread. Mm-hmm. And that's an amazing step of faith on his part.
Anyone want to add to that, Sabina?
I think that is one of the most beautiful testimonies that we find in the New Testament about what Jesus has to offer. Mm. You know, because Jesus, he offers abundant life in so many ways. He blesses us. But if we forget of the most important and the fundamental truth that what he came primarily to give us is eternal life, mm-hmm. is restore us from death to life and grant that we can have, you know, a relationship with God forever, then all the other things, they matter nothing, mm. right? I'm thinking of Paul also when he says that, that what do we profit if we don't have the truth of life eternal?
I'm remembering, and it come to many hands raised, the scientist who said to me, he studied with a lot of atheists, agnostics, and evolutionists, studied advanced genetics, and he said, I have a lot of questions, but I'm going to ask them mm-hmm. when I see Jesus.
Right.
In other words, he was saying, I have come to believe and know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen right now. And I can live with some unanswered questions. Because I know the most important question has been answered. Are you with me?
Right.
I don't think Peter understands, like Corey said. I don't think he understood it all. But he said, Jesus, I know who you are.
Amen.
I'm going to trust in you. Mm-hmm. Gladys?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, that he may not have understood everything, but he said, where can I go? You are the only one that I want to be close to. You are the Son of God. Amen. So he may not have understood everything that Jesus was trying to imply with his body and the blood and drink this and that, but he wanted, he knew that he wanted to be with Jesus.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. There's so much more we could share. I'm going to let Puya make a comment, but I want you to think about this question. I want you to think, was there ever a turbulent time in your life? Mm. A lot of people were leaving Jesus. And you just said, I'm going to hold on to Jesus. Even though maybe all of my questions aren't answered, I'm going to hold on. I see, Corey, your hand raised. Puya, make your comment, but maybe someone's watching. Maybe you're watching and saying, Derek, you have no idea. I have family members leaving Jesus. Mm. I have a spouse who says I don't believe anymore. How do we hold on during that difficult time? Puya?
I wanted to pick up on what Gladys just commented earlier. the part that touches me from Peter's words is, Lord, to whom shall we go? Like, what other options do we have?
Exactly.
That's as fair. You pointed out, Derek, no worldview or no system of belief closes all the gaps or answers all the possible questions that we may have in this world. Mm-hmm. Even when we follow Jesus, we will still have questions that we can't answer, you know, at all on this end. But the approach is, if we were to reject Jesus and choose a different worldview or choose a different person to follow, is there any actual better option than Jesus? I don't think so.
Wow, thank you. Corey, do you want to share with us?
Yeah, and you know part of this story, Derek. A few years ago, I lost my father tragically, suddenly. I ended up doing CPR on him for quite a while.
Wow.
So I was pretty mad at God for a while. And didn't understand why, much like Peter here, doesn't understand all the why. But I had a habit of getting up every morning and reading my Bible.
Amen.
And in reading my Bible and continuing, I realized that he's the God of life, not of death. And it wasn't his plan, that it was Satan's plan. And I don't understand all the why, but I have Jesus. Amen. That's all that matters.
Wow.
Amen.
Thanks for your testimony, Corey. Praise God. That's beautiful. We're going to move on. We've looked at the testimony of John briefly and the testimony of Peter here, but I want to go to the testimony of God the Father.
Amen.
Because if you remember, there were a few times in the ministry of Jesus when God the Father spoke.
That's right.
Dandile, I'm going to ask you to go to Matthew 3, verse 17. Do you know that John... No gospel writer tells us everything about the life and ministry of Jesus, right?
Right.
John doesn't mention the baptism. Now, we know Jesus was baptized,
right.
So it's not like he didn't believe that. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke give us a little more information. And Zandilli, could you read for us how Matthew records the baptism of Jesus in Matthew 3 and verse 17?
Yes, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version, verse 17 of Matthew 3 says, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven, saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'"
And you know, Mark and Luke also record very similar words. "This is my beloved Son." Can you think of another time when the Father spoke during the ministry of Jesus?
On the Mount of Transfiguration.
Yeah. Right. Let's look at that. Jason, could you read for us in Mark chapter 9 and verse 7? It's also in Matthew 17, 5. On the Mount of Transfiguration. Again, John didn't record this, but these are testimonies of the Father. What do you read there in Mark 9, verse 7?
All right, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And the Bible says, "And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, hear him.'"
Slightly different. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." But now, "This is my beloved Son,
hear him."
Listen to him, right? Listen to him. Yeah. Now, John does speak about the testimony of the Father. I want to look at two verses with you. 1 John 5, verses 36 to 38. And Joshua, if you'd be willing to read for us John 5, 36 to 38, and also John 12, which is actually one time the Father speaks, only recorded by John. So I'm thankful for all of the gospel accounts.
Amen.
But Joshua, if you could read for us John 5, beginning with verse 36 through verse 38.
All right, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, John 5, 36 through 38. "But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works with the which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe."
So even if the Father had never spoken audibly, the testimony of the Father is seen in
the Son.
How?
His life.
By the things he did, right?
Yeah,
I mean, no man can do these things, Nicodemus said, unless God is with him. Right? So just the testimony of his life. Yeah. But there were times. Mm-hmm. We mentioned the baptism. We mentioned the Mount of Transfiguration. Mm-hmm. Let's go to John chapter 12. Gladys, could you read for us beginning in verse 27? We're getting very close to the arrest of Jesus now. This is right at the end of his ministry. And some people come. Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens in John 12, verse 27 through 30.
John 12, verse 27 to 30. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there heard it and said, it has thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine.
Why did some people hear it as thunder? I think there were some people at the baptism that didn't hear, this is my beloved son. What do you think, Travis? Why did they think it's thunder? Someone else says, no, I think an angel was speaking.
So I'm going back to something we talked about earlier, and that is in the Corinthians, where it talked about he blinding the eyes of the mind.
Satan,
he can also close the ears.
Ruler of this world, right?
Yeah.
Blinding our eyes.
Yeah.
So that could be why?
One place in Scripture, give me ears to hear, you know, so...
Spiritual things,
spiritually
discerned, the Apostle Paul says. So the Father speaking and the unreceptive heart or the deaf ears only hear
thunder.
Noise, right? I think when the Lord risen Christ spoke to Saul of Tarsus, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? That some of his entourage, some of his bodyguards, they didn't hear that, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They just saw the light. So again, we come back to the need for a receptive heart. But why are these testimonies, baptism, transfiguration, right before, by the way, I have glorified my name and I will glorify it
again. Mm-hmm.
What's that? When has he already glorified his name? In this... In the ministry of Jesus, life and ministry. And when will he glorify it again?
Resurrection.
On the cross.
The cross, yeah.
And the resurrection. And the ascension, right? And the exaltation, where Jesus is given a name
above
all names. Yeah, so I've glorified it. I will glorify it again. Why do you think these overt testimonies of God the Father are important? Not only for Jesus... Not only for those who heard with a receptive heart, but also for us. Mm-hmm. Anybody? What do you think, Jason?
Well, I think just as John, you know, had confidence, that bold humility, we too can have that as we read the scriptures and understand that how God has done a great work in Jesus' life and that we can share in that same work as well.
Okay. Yeah. So that's written down. I mean, we just read it because the Holy Spirit inspired Matthew. We read from Matthew. Correct. Mark.
Yes.
We read from Mark. John. Mm-hmm. Yes. To write those things down, right?
Amen. Yes.
So we could hear it.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, Sabina.
And we just started our lesson talking about the chiasm that is between us and God and understanding God, that there is a need for his self-revelation to us. And I think that especially in what distinguishes, like recognizing that he was God, no one else apart from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit can testify of that, right? So that's why I think it's so important that not only people saw the works and they recognized there was something special, but also that God himself was able to communicate that in that very special way.
You know, in this setting, Jesus says, the words were spoken not for me, but for you. But I think at the baptism, correct me if I'm wrong, help me, anybody, Corey, Sandili, team members here, that the voice spoken at his baptism was also for his benefit, as well as others like John the Baptist. The voice on the Transfiguration Mountain was also for him, to encourage him. I don't know, Puya, what do you think?
When I tried to put myself in the shoes of the people at that time, they probably were not used to the idea of God having a son.
Yeah.
You know, because they grew up being taught that God is one and there's only one. And for God to have a son, mm-hmm. it was a strange idea. So the father testifying that this is his son,
important.
Yeah. I believe would have, you know, broadened their understanding of the nature of God.
This is my beloved son. Zandile, you want to add to the discussion?
Yeah, I want to add on what Kuya just said. Back in the Old Testament, he said, in the mouth of two witnesses or three, let whatever it is be established. And now I see God going back to his word and establishing the fact that Jesus was his son because he testifies of him more than two times.
Right. Yeah. Well, the testimony is in the works Jesus is doing and in the word the Father is speaking. Well, let's look the last testimony. We're talking about more testimonies about Jesus. Is the testimony of Jesus himself. And we could look at many verses, but I want to focus in on John 7. And in fact, we talked about this, didn't we? On the last day, the great day of the feast. Corey, if you could read that for us in John 7, 37 and 38. And let's see how Jesus testified about himself.
In the New King James Version, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.
I think, Travis, when we were talking about the testimony of the Samaritans, that living water Jesus spoke about. But let's go down to verse 40 now, Tendi, if you could read in John 7. Let's see how those present responded to this bold testimony of Jesus about himself. Verse 40 to 44 of John 7.
And I'll be reading from the New King James. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard the saying, said, truly, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Now some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him.
By the way, take him.
To kill him.
Take him by force. In fact, as we pick up in verse 45 down through 49, we'll see that the chief priests had already sent a detachment of soldiers to arrest him. And Joshua, if you could read that for us in John 7. Verses 45 to 49, they've gone. Their mission is to arrest Jesus. And let's see their testimony about Jesus.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. Then the Pharisees answered them, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed.
No, I don't know what happened. I don't know. They were told, go and arrest Jesus. So I imagine the soldiers, the officers, the temple guard, they go and the crowd is there. And so as they're kind of getting closer, they start hearing Jesus speak. And what's their reaction? Well, we know later because they tell the chief priest. What's their reaction?
No man spoke like this.
Right. No. Surprise.
Amazing. The people who sent us don't talk like this. Right?
Right.
Yes.
Right? Yes. They don't speak with authority from a living connection with the Heavenly Father.
Right.
So I don't know. You'll have to help me on this. I don't know if they were so impacted by what they were hearing That they forgot why they were there.
Possibly.
Yeah, you know, it's like, possibly. I don't know, has that ever happened to you? You went somewhere and you forgot why you went there?
Yeah.
And so I've got to go back.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they went back saying, okay, time for lunch.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they knew exactly why, but they just, they felt incapacitated.
Right.
By the powerful words of Jesus.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
What can we learn from this story? By the way, that was their testimony, right?
Right. Yeah.
What was their testimony about Jesus? Nobody. Spoke like this man speaks.
Yeah. Yes.
What? We've got just a couple of minutes left. Take a big look at the picture here. What lessons can we learn, Viera? What can we learn from this story?
Well, I have times when I go to church and I only hear blah, 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 blah. Or I
don't know how to translate that.
I open the Word of God and I only hear like blah, blah, blah. I don't get touched. And then I pray and then I pray to God and I'm like, God, if you're real, please talk to me. And I have to say that the Holy Spirit, it's so real and present even today. Mm-hmm. And when I say this prayer, my ears open, my eyes open, and I hear something that touches my heart, and I see the reality and presence
powerful,
of God.
Powerful, powerful. So that, I had an epiphany, an awareness. I wonder if when Jesus saw the temple guards coming to arrest him, mm-hmm. he prayed, mm-hmm. Holy Father.
Amen.
Open their ears.
Yeah.
Open their eyes. Yeah. The religious leaders are blind and deaf. Yes. But the temple guards, they don't come for a revival meeting. They come because they've been asked to arrest him.
Right.
Do you think Jesus prayed even for the temple guards?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
God would open their ears and open their eyes. Anybody else? Yes. Closing lesson. Puya.
Enough people have testified about Jesus. We only have to read the stories and open our hearts for us to receive that revelation of God too.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
I just want to challenge you today, and we've heard, read the story, but also pray that the Holy Spirit would take away that blinder the enemy's put in front of us so that we can see and we can hear the truth about Jesus, about the immeasurable and unfailing love of God that he came to reveal from our Heavenly Father. That is a miracle. Mm-hmm. And it can happen for you and for me. In fact, I think it needs to happen day by day.
Amen.
Because the distractions of this world are all around us. And friend, when that happens, we've been learning from the testimonies that have been given. We will be changed,
Amen.
Transformed, and become living witnesses for Him.
Hallelujah.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we've heard some powerful testimonies today, and I just thank you that even when we don't have all of the answers, that we can say, I know who Jesus is, mm-hmm. and I'm going to press close to Jesus, my Savior. Mm-hmm. I pray that for each one, and may lives around us be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. We're not done with the journey. Themes in the Gospel of John, life-changing messages. The key let message, press close to Jesus, and then go out and be a blessing to those around you.